You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 22nd of May 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Yes, it's that time of the week again when we welcome Grandpa Lampshade to the show. Grandpa, good afternoon to you, sir. How the devil are you?
Well, I'm doing all right. I'm thinking about opportunities, Sven. I'm thinking about opportunities. I'm thinking about all the opportunities that have presented themselves now that we live under a paradigm that, you know, if we present experts and people who are in perceived authority declare that something is an emergency or a crisis, then we have to go along with whatever they say. And I think we've got a great story today to highlight some of the endless possibilities that lie ahead of us with this narrative, with this approach.
Well, this is definitely an expert opinion here that we have. It looks like Ohio have declared racism a public health crisis in the state's embattled Franklin County, where twice as many black people are hospitalized for COVID-19 than other races, despite being a minority of the population. And of course, that must be down to racism. It must be that white people just think they're so superior to blacks that this virus has been affected by it and decided that it's going to particularly go after black people instead of whites. Well, this public health declaration and resolution was passed on Tuesday by commissioners in Franklin County, along with a 10-step plan to address racism in the health system, housing, and education. How is there racism in the health system? I mean, the health system is there for anybody that turns up at the doors of the hospital. And I mean, you could say, well, hang on a minute, what about the health system in Africa? Did these Africans ever come up with a health system? Did they ever come up with medicine or surgery or anything like that? I suspect the only surgery that they ever got involved in was cutting up slices of their compatriots to put on the fire and roast and eat. So I really don't get how there is racism in the health system here, or how it's responsible for the fact that black people are being hospitalized more than other races. What do you make of this, Grandpa?
Well, setting your cannibalism reference aside for just a moment, I find it amazing. You know, somebody's bullshitting you, because sometimes you have to just use, pardon my French, as they say, but sometimes there's just no other terms you can use. You know, somebody's bullshitting you when in the same paragraph they contradict themselves. So right at the first, we're told that this is racism because more blacks have been hospitalized for the coronavirus than white people. And then in the very same paragraph, they say they're having a plan to address racism in the health system. Now, if you said there's racism in the health system, you would assume that means that black people can't get access to health care. They go to the hospital and say, oh, sorry, wrong color of the skin. We don't treat your kind around here. Get out of here, you know. But the intro to this narrative is that more blacks are admitted to the hospital. So if more blacks are admitted to the hospital, doesn't that imply that blacks have actually more access to the healthcare system than white people do, which is actually a very real possibility, because where you're incorrect is here in America, you can't just walk up to the hospital and get care. I mean, I always say America has the best healthcare system in the world as long as you have money. If you don't, then sorry, too bad for you. But they do have government things such as Medicaid, which is supposed to be for poor people. However, if you're a, shall we say, impoverished white person, you're going to have a hard time getting on Medicaid. But however, blacks are pretty much rubber stamped into the program. So really, in a lot of ways, blacks probably have more access to the healthcare system than white people. Now, somebody would hear that and say, now, GPO, you're just throwing that out there. But they're telling us in the very same article that more blacks are in the hospital than white people. And since the virus, we were told earlier in the narrative that the virus doesn't discriminate. So that tells me that they're giving black people more access to the healthcare system than they are white people, as is evidenced by here. Now, think about this. Let's continue this train of thought for just a minute. If it was the opposite, if more white people were in the hospital than black people, would they? Is it realistic? Is it reasonable to suggest that the narrative here would be, see, this proves that black people are being denied healthcare? They're being denied access to healthcare because you see, you have all of these white people in the hospital and blacks aren't in the hospital. So that means it's racist. So it's kind of a heads I win, tails you lose sort of situation. And when you look at their own contradictions and their own, you know, lies are always bound to contradict themselves at some point. In this case, right in the first freaking paragraph, it's not hard to see what the narrative they're trying to promote is, and it's not hard to see how transparently it is that it's a lie. And honestly, it's pretty stupid.
That's got to be where this comes from, isn't it? This narrative that the virus doesn't discriminate, and yet there are more blacks in hospital and more blacks dying than their percentage of the population. So that can only mean that racism is causing it. If the virus doesn't discriminate, and of course the virus does discriminate against people with diabetes, people with obesity, people of old age. The whole thing with it is that you are more susceptible to the virus if you have certain conditions. And quite obviously, black people are more susceptible to conditions such as diabetes and obesity. And they are also more susceptible to ignoring the social distancing rules. They also feature twice as much in the arrests for not social distancing, I hear, according to Jared Taylor's podcast this week. But back to this article here, the resolution was a part of the 2019 Rise Together blueprint effort to address poverty in Central Ohio that was first announced last year, well before the coronavirus struck. Racism has been a pandemic long before the current coronavirus pandemic, Commissioner Kevin L. Boyce said in a statement. Well, hang on a minute. Wasn't this an attempt to address poverty? How come it's now all become about race? What about the white people that are living in poverty? They just don't get a look in, do they? It just becomes all about black people. And trying to say that racism is a pandemic, what, it just infects people? It's not that we can actually see with our eyes that these people are different to us, that we can hear with our ears that they are different to us, that we can see by their behavior that they are different to us. I mean, we now see that there are more of them getting sick and more of them dying than us. I mean, just about everything we look at tells us that there is a difference between us. And yet we are told that they're exactly the same as us. And this is this mysterious phenomenon known as racism that we are experiencing by seeing a difference between us. What do you make of this effort to address poverty in Central Ohio, Grandpa?
Well, I mean, as you're kind of pointing out here, once again, you see this contradiction. They're constantly telling us, you know, that we're all the same. We don't have different characteristics. And I mean, that's not even to sit here and say one racial group's characteristics are superior to another. It's just to say they're different. I mean, it's visibly so, and it's reflected in the culture. I mean, they have their own culture for a reason, because it matches up. It lines up with their racial characteristics. You know, and that goes for all the different races in the country. I mean, Asian people have a very different mindset, a very different way that they think, and it's reflected in their culture itself. But we're not supposed to notice that. And then you have this, you know, now they're trying to somehow tie this whole corona nonsense into somehow, you know, like you say, if there's any sort of difference in how different races are being affected, then it can't be because there's different aspects of the races. It has to be because of racism, which always means one thing. I mean, let's remember, racism means one thing. It's white people's fault. I mean, that's what they're saying. They're not saying, oh, well, there's something above intrinsic. They're saying that this is somehow because more blacks apparently have access to healthcare, so they're in the hospital. that's somehow your fault because you're a white person. The problem is white people. So the counter to that is somehow we're going to have to punish white people for this because, you know, blacks have, I guess the, I don't know, Corona now is racist or something. It's muddled for a reason. It's muddled because it's a lie. And everybody, you read this and you know it's a lie. And you try to piece it together in our logical brains, try to make sense of things and try to put it together in a way that, okay, well, I guess viewed from this standpoint, this makes sense, but it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense because it can't make sense because it's all a lie. They're feeding us a line of bull here. And I was sitting here thinking about the average, we were talking about things that contribute to serious complications from this thing, supposedly. And of course, obesity, you know, they've tied obesity to it. I'm not sure that that is as big a factor as what they're saying for the simple fact that everybody in America is obese. Virtually everybody in this country is a fat ass. So, I mean, you say, oh, well, we're looking at underlying conditions and obesity is a very dominant. Yeah, but everybody in this, I would bet 90% of the population in this country is obese. Yours truly excluded, of course. But yeah, 90% of the population of this country is obese. So, of course, you're going to have all these obese people that supposedly have this virus. But the overlying factor is still the average age, they're telling us, of the people who are basically dying from this thing is 80 years old. So if the average age is 80 years old, I'm assuming they're figuring blacks in on that as well. I'm assuming they're not sitting there, well, let's figure, don't count the age of blacks because we don't want to count those people. I'm assuming they're not doing that. So that means including blacks, the average age of people who are dying from this is 80 years old. So really nothing changes about this. And a final word on this before we move on, Sven, you know, they're talking about black people in hospitals. And again, as I pointed out already, you know, if you're on Medicaid, that is as close as having like an NHS system that y'all have in Britain here. I mean, you can go in because the government, it's basically government subsidized. The government pays for your health care when you go in there. And so you would sit here and say, well, okay, if assuming that these poor black people are on Medicaid, and that's a safe assumption, that's a reasonable assumption to make here. These black people are being admitted to the hospital because they're getting to bill Medicaid for it. I, you know, we've all read the stories to where I think if they hook somebody up to a respirator for a day, they get to bill Medicaid for something like, I don't know, 13, 30, I don't remember the number, thousands, a bunch of money, like $13,000 or $30,000. So you can see where there would be a financial incentive involved here as well. They have these, hey, we can bring them in here, keep them for a few days, bill Medicaid, boom, boom, boom. Say they're, you know, okay, send them back home. And just kind of keep assembly lining people through the system where, say, somebody such as myself who's poor and isn't on Medicaid, you know, I'm show up at the hospital. And they're going to be like, yeah, well, you know, get your cracker ass back to the house because, you know, you don't have the money to pay for health care and you're not on Medicaid. So get out of here. So you're not going to be in that statistic. It's not hard to figure out how all of this works.
Well, that's interesting. They tie it in with poverty as well, because over here in Britain, they're saying, well, we've had all these black doctors that have got the virus and have ended up dying. And you can hardly say that black doctors don't have a lot of money. And they've even ended up saying now that, well, we're just going to pull all these black doctors away from the coronavirus patients and replace them with white doctors because blacks and non-whites have been declared as being vulnerable. And they say that in the same sentence as saying, well, we also need to make sure that foreign doctors and foreign nurses that have come to work in the NHS, they don't actually have to pay to be in the NHS. And they're making this big song and dance about all the help that immigrants have given to the NHS with this coronavirus. In actual fact, they've all been removed from the coronavirus because they mysteriously keep getting it. And I do think that it might have something to do with the fact that 80% of all the doctors and nurses that are struck off for gross incompetence in Britain are actually black or non-white. It's their own incompetence. Could it be their own incompetence that's causing this? Of course, they won't say that because that will hurt their feelings, and hurting their feelings is a public health crisis, as we learned here today. Our declaration today is important, but it's not saying anything that hasn't been apparent for a long time. COVID-19 has highlighted the health divide between black and white Ohioans. However, and I hope that it can be the catalyst we need to reform the whole health system so that it works for all of us equally. He added, while black residents make up just 23% of the population of 1.3 million in Franklin County, they are hospitalized at twice the rate of other demographic groups, according to the commissioner report. And also, while making up just 23% of the population of 1.3 million in Franklin County, they are also responsible for five times as much crime as the rest of the population. And you can look at all the statistics. You can look at the statistics of how well they do in school, how many of them get a job, the crime rate, the murder rate, the divorce rate, the childless family rate, and every single one of those statistics that you look at will tell you that there is a difference there. And it can't all be down to white people being mean to them. I mean, we bend over backwards for them. We do all we can to prevent them from ending up in prison. We've even told our judges over here that they need to bear in mind that the person in the dock might have been a victim of racism. So don't send them to prison if you can help it. We need to get these numbers down. And yet still, five times as many of them end up in prison. And now we've got twice as many of them as their demographic number ends up in the hospital. And still, we're being blamed for this. I mean, as I pointed out at the beginning of this, you know, they're lucky that they are actually being treated with Western healthcare in the first place. Surely they should be thanking us for the fact that we are keeping them alive, rather than just leaving them with the healthcare that they developed in Africa, which was basically just juju magic. What do you make of this claim here of the health divide between black and white Ohioans, Grandpa?
Well, one of the amazing things to come out of all of this is that suddenly commies have discovered the concept of per capita data. This is an amazing thing, because whenever you talk about crime statistics, even official FBI crimes, it doesn't matter the source. They always have had this like blind eye when it comes to the per capita. Like, more white people are actually in prison than black people. And you're sitting there like, well, okay, but looking at per capita, you know, they commit this much, much, much higher percentage of crime overall, you know, and they just have had a blind eye. But now all of a sudden they have discovered per capita data. This is an amazing thing. Maybe we can finally have that crime discussion we've so long had, but wanted to have, but apparently we can't, because they're always telling us over here from time to time that it's time we have a serious conversation about race, only they never actually want to have a conversation. They want to just lecture us. And it's always, and this is what's annoying, it's not usually black. I mean, there will be some blacks, you know, quote unquote civil rights leaders that are thrown in there, but it's usually these commie white people that are lecturing us about how we have to have a conversation about racism. But somehow they're the benefactors for all the blacks. No, the divide, the realistically, getting back to actual realistic facts here, there is a divide here in the U.S. in the healthcare system. I'm not going to sit here and whitewash that or paint it over, but it is a divide of rich and poor, you know, and more blacks are poor. That is a fact. So, of course, you were going to have, you know, well, it's kind of balanced out because of their access to Medicaid. But I mean, still, there is going to be an effect there because they're poor. But I mean, white poor people face the same obstacles. This isn't a unique thing because you're black. Again, what are they proposing here then? That black people show up for health care and they tell them, we don't serve your kind here. Get out. I mean, seriously, that's apparently what they're implying happens here, because they're throwing around these terms about a racist system and racism is keeping them out. They're implying that well, if you show up and you happen to be black, they're telling you to get the hell out. No, if you're showing up and you don't have a bunch of money to pay them, they're telling you to get the hell out. I mean, that's for anybody, whites, blacks, it doesn't matter. It's one of the, you know, like I say, in this country, we have a great healthcare system if you have a lot of money. If you don't, you're on your own. You just better hope you don't get sick. That's your healthcare plan. And yet they're trying to act like they're trying to essentially imply that if black people show up for healthcare, they just, oh, we don't serve your kind. Now get out. When nobody in their right mind thinks that's reasonable. Nobody thinks that's even happening. But now it's been officially declared as some sort of public health crisis. And you have to wonder, well, then what else are they basically telling us here now, that anything that's on the commie gripe list, anything that's on the commie agenda, as long as they get people in authority to declare that it's a crisis, that it's a public health crisis, then we have to surrender our rights? Don't laugh, because obviously the precedent has been set.
Well, they are, aren't they? They're blaming doctors for this. They have to be saying that that's what's happening. Doctors and hospitals, they're not treating black people because they're black. And it's the same that's implied when they say that there's more of them in prison over here in Britain or wherever. What they're implying there is that judges are picking on them in particular, sending them more to prison than they would whites. They're saying that the police are ignoring white people committing crimes and they're just going after blacks, or they're planting evidence on them. They're saying that the teachers in the schools are deliberately ignoring the black pupils and not teaching them as much as they should, and they're not investing as much time in them. And it's all just it's just nonsense, and it's just offensive to the white people that do actually bend over backwards to do everything that we possibly can for them. And the proof of that is that we accept things like this in our newspapers, telling us that racism is a public health crisis, and we are the ones responsible for blacks getting this virus. Well, the declaration comes after the Franklin County Board of Health passed a similar resolution last week on May the 14th, noting racism and segregation in Franklin County and Ohio has exacerbated a health divide, resulting in black Ohioans having lower life expectancy than white Ohioans. I thought segregation was over and done with in America about 60 years ago. If there is segregation in America now, then that has got to be down to the choice of where people want to live. Nobody is forcing blacks to live separately to whites. People can buy their own houses. Again, this is probably down to differences, wealth differences, because white people save their money and black people tend to just spend it and think tomorrow is just another day. And again, we see that there is a difference here, because blacks have a lower life expectancy than white Ohioans. Black residents are more likely to die prematurely, meaning before the age of 75, compared to other races, the report said. Well, could that possibly be the reason why they are dying from this virus? Because they're likely to die before the age of 75 anyway? They also have an infant mortality rate that is nearly three times higher than other races, and are more likely to be overweight or obese and have adult onset diabetes, according to the Board of Health. Well, I would look at all of those and say, well, surely it is so obvious that they are different to us. They are a different subspecies to us. There are different subspecies of man. We call them races because there are differences between them. They don't just look different. They have different ways of doing things. They have different life expectancy, as we're being told here. They have different ways of bringing up their children, as we're told here with the infant mortality rate. When you look at Africa, they have these huge families. They don't invest that much time into the children. And a lot of the time, these children just die off before they actually come to adulthood. Whereas if you look at the white way of bringing up children, we tend to have less children and concentrate more time on educating them. And it's a theory that the races do things in different ways, basically. And that's what this is telling us. It's telling us that black people have different ways of doing things. And the proof of the fact they have different ways of doing things are these differences in the statistics that we see here between blacks and whites. But of course, not according to the Franklin County Board of Health. It's racism that's causing this.
Well, and for the sake of clarity, when I said earlier that, you know, so often it's white people advocating for this, I left the echo marks, left the parentheses off of white people so often the time. You have to read the story like this, and you have to wonder, you know, if this COVID-19 thing, which I guess they came up with really going with this marketing term, because here in America, and I really in the West in general, but here in America for sure, everything is marketing. I mean, we are constantly fed our information, the narrative, everything is marketed. They use branding constantly for everything. And, you know, this was the coronavirus. And I guess that didn't sound sinister enough. So now the narrative, they're using the COVID-19 branding. I mean, granted, it's more or less one of the same, but they switched from calling it coronavirus all the time to now it's COVID-19. You see this on the news here all the time. They use COVID-19. I think it's because it's better branding. It sounds more serious. It sounds more technical. It sounds more science. say COVID-19. But one has to wonder, if this crisis is overwhelming our healthcare system and everybody's dying, though I don't know anybody yet that's died from it. Actually, I don't even know anybody personally who's even had it. But if this is such a crisis, then how come they have time to sit around and kvetch over bullshit like this? I mean, seriously, if this is such a crisis and people dropping like flies left and right, then how come they have time to be dealing with this? If people are, say, they're stacking bodies up in the halls of hospitals because so many people are dying from this stupid virus, then how come they have time to sit around? I mean, because if you believe that, if you listen to the show and you're sitting here going, oh, man, these guys are just like COVID deniers or something. It's really serious. Everybody's dying. You just don't understand. Just because you don't know anybody doesn't mean everybody's not dying from it. So if you believe that and giving that point, does it not seem utterly ludicrous that while people are stacking bodies in the hospital and everybody's dying from the COVID pandemic, that Franklin County, Ohio has time to sit around and fiddle their thumbs with stupid shit like this? Doesn't that just seem utterly ridiculous? So one of the two things, they're either incompetent and they're not dealing with all the piles of bodies stacking up in the hospital and this horrible healthcare crisis where everybody is dying, or they already know it's not a big deal and they're just simply using it as an opportunity. And yeah, segregation, you already pointed that out. That's laughable, but it's voluntary. There's no, you know, again, no coloreds allowed in this neighborhood. That's not happening. So any segregation that exists is completely voluntary. I also find it humorous that they list off all of these other health conditions that are contributing factors, such as diabetes and poor immune systems. And you know, that's a contributing factor for anybody. But yet they admit that blacks have these underlying conditions more so than others. And so it's like, OK, well, really, then the problem isn't some inherent racism that's picking on them. People aren't denying them, you know, well, you've got to die because you're black. Obviously, they have the same vulnerabilities if anybody else. If you're a white person and you're obese, have a compromised immune system and diabetes, you're likely to have more serious complications from this than anybody else. And on a final point here, they say that black residents are more likely to die prematurely, meaning before the age of 75, compared to other races. Yeah, drive-by shootings and shit like that, gang violence will tend to do that. You know, they don't mention, they're just talking about die prematurely in this general term. And people get this vision. You're supposed to get this vision. This is how it's being presented. You're just supposed to go along with the narrative and assume, oh my gosh, that means that more black people are dying early in life from disease. So, no, but they're talking about death in general. So yeah, I mean, once you factor in other things such as gang violence, drive-by shootings, stabbings, and other things that, you know, aren't exactly a big secret happen in the black community, then that yeah, sure, that makes perfect sense. It's quite understandable. They've been trying to get them to stop shooting one another for decades, centuries now. It doesn't seem to be working, but now I guess it's because of the coronavirus. There was a perfect example. We've seen several stories. Perfect example of this where everybody, they have a party, you know, oh my gosh, they're not social distancing. And when you see the home shot video from the cell phones, it's all blacks. And oh my gosh, the media will sit there and say, look, they're not social distancing, but yet the story ends up with it culminated in a shooting where five people were shot. It's all blacks. Well, of course they're dying prematurely once you factor in the violence that always goes hands in hand whenever they get up in a big group or something like that. Happens all the time. This isn't a big secret. I'm not bringing out some sort of, you know, new groundbreaking revelation here. Everybody knows this. Everybody, you know, everybody, the general normie population knows this. You're just not allowed to notice. You're not allowed to talk about it.
Well, they're kind of implying it, aren't they, by not wanting to be segregated. I mean, what they're saying there is we don't want to live among other black people. We want to live among white people. It's somehow oppression and horrific and horrible for us to have to live among our own people. I mean, that's what they're saying there. I think Crohn virus is actually quite a good name for it. It does affect old people. Unfortunately, it does affect men more than women, but Crohn virus seems quite an apt name to me. And also, I was just thinking there, you know, they're saying, oh, it's going to be terrible when it hits Africa. But in actual fact, the virus is going to be discriminating in their favor in Africa, because in most of the countries there, they're about 60 or 70% of the population are all under the age of 30. So I don't think it's going to be that big a problem in Africa. Well, the declaration declares that internal and systemic forms of racism have led to persistent discrimination and disparate outcomes between white people and people of colour in the county. Discrimination has affected people of colour in housing, education, employment, and criminal justice, and healthcare. I mean, what are they saying there? They're saying that all the white people that are involved in those departments are discriminating against blacks. We know that they're doing all they can to raise the education level. They're deliberately saying that they only want blacks and minority ethnics to apply for certain jobs. We know that they've got all these programs in the courts to try and keep them out of prison. And as you've pointed out there, Grandpa, you've got Medicaid over there, which is to ensure that they actually get healthcare. And yet they're still claiming that there's internal and systemic forms of racism that have actually led to these different outcomes, which are basically just down to them having a different biology to us, I would say.
Well, if we weren't all banned from social media where we could actually interact with people that spew this nonsense, the question I would present is you could always shoot holes in these arguments when you press for definitions. And in this case, if I was having a conversation with somebody that was spewing this obvious nonsense towards me, I would stop the conversation right here and ask them to define for me exactly what is internal and systemic forms of racism. What does that mean? You have to be real careful, because they lie to us like this, and they throw a term like this out, internal and systemic forms of racism, and they're counting on you to simply just get a vision of what that means in your head and accept that deal and roll with it. But I would stop the conversation here and say, no, define what that means. Because really, what does that mean? Internal and systemic forms of racism. What does that mean? I want to know what this term means. Again, does this mean that if blacks show up, they tell them you're not allowed in here colored, you got to go to the colored hospital? Well, that's silly on its face. We know that's not the case. So what does it mean? Does it mean that doctors turn around? Well, there are black doctors, so I can't picture that black doctors are sitting around telling their own people, you know, get the hell out. So I don't think that's realistic. So I would be pressing to ask, what does that mean? Because it's a nonsensical term. It has no definition. It's just a feel term, internal and systemic forms of racism. But we all go to the same system. You're all subjected to the same system. And like healthcare, the court system is a perfect example. If you get tied up in the court system in a criminal case and they decide you're guilty, whether you're black or white, it doesn't matter. We see it all the time. If you're rich, you're probably not going to do jail time. If you're poor, you're screwed. If your court-appointed attorney isn't getting paid hardly anything, and he's going to tell you to plead out because he doesn't want to waste billing hours on your sorry case. And that's if you're black or white. There was this high-profile celebrity case over here, and oh, lo and behold, you know, because this celebrity I've never heard of, she bribed some people to get her daughter into college. The listeners probably know what I'm talking about. You know, and oh, lo and behold, she got a plea deal to where she didn't have to do any jail time. You know, a year ago when this broke, they were talking about she could have to do something like 20 years in prison for this. And I laughed. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, that is not going to happen. Rich people generally get cushy plea deals, whether it's Epstein or anybody else. They get these plea deals. They get these cushy deals. If you're a poor person and you steal a six pack of beer from the convenience store, you're going to go do hard time. If you're a rich person and you embezzle $50 million through an investment fund, then not so much. And that's the way the system works here, acting like, oh, well, they're just picking on blacks. And this is setting aside the reality that, you know, they're committing more of the crimes. That's the reality. But no, if you're tied up in the legal system here, you're screwed. Once again, just like the healthcare system, because you're poor and not rich. That's the way it works in America.
You mean it's not white privilege that's getting these people off? I mean, I could see that if you are a little bit simple, maybe, then you could believe that it was just that these white people are just magically privileged and that's why they're getting off on these court cases. But, you know, it's really not that difficult to look at it and see, as you've just pointed out there, Grandpa, that it's actually a wealth disparity. It's if you've got more money than you're actually going to be able to get better things in life rather than worse. Well, nothing is more important than the health and well-being of our residents, Board of Commissioners President John O'Grady said in a statement. Our community's success depends on all Franklin County residents being able to share in it. But right now we have a system that is resulting in different outcomes for people based on the colour of their skin. That's not acceptable. Again, there's been no proof put forward as to how this is actually based on the colour of somebody's skin. It's not got anything to do with their skin. It's to do with their biology and their behaviour. The virus isn't looking at them saying, oh, he's black, I'm going to infect him and kill him. It's just a matter of the fact that their biology leaves them susceptible to this, their behaviour leaves them susceptible to this, and they're more likely to die before they get to the age of 75 anyway. So they're more likely to die, basically. So the COVID hasn't really made any difference to that. And Board Commissioner Marilyn Brown said that the racism and discrimination seen today stems from centuries of systemic racism with roots in slavery and segregation that prevails today. Hundreds of years of systemic racism from slavery to segregation, redlining to Jim Crow, and discrimination in housing, finance, and education, some of which persist today, have led to predictable inequities, Commissioner Marilyn Brown said in a statement. We won't solve these things overnight, but it's important to start by recognizing them and beginning to work purposefully for change. So all of that has led to them catching the coronavirus is basically what they're saying here. Yet the Franklin County Rise Together Blueprint report noted that the county's African-American residents also experienced dramatically higher unemployment rates. Overall, the rate is 5.7% in the state, but it is 11.1% among African-Americans. Similarly, they face a high poverty rate of 29.9%, compared to the county's general 16.7% unemployment rate. Grandpa, what they're actually saying here is what you are saying is true and not what they are saying about racism.
Yeah, I love how Board Commissioner Marilyn Brown just packs her statement once again with these terms that they're not defining for us. Racism. Oh, they're all buzzwords. They're all trigger words. Racism. Discrimination. Okay, in what form? Give us some examples. If this is so widespread, please give us some examples. No, they're just pointing to unequal outcomes. Well, I don't live in a fancy brick home. I don't have, you know, all the nice things that I would love to have in life. So, and I see other people that do have these things. So we're talking, I'm seeing these unequal outcomes in my life. So what is the cause of that? You know, they jump to this, you know, well, everybody's not having an exactly equal outcome. So it has to be because of racism, systemic racism. And once again, we're not being given any definition of these terms. Hundreds of years of systemic racism. Oh, so now we've got to go all the way back to slavery. We're going all the way back to slavery to find some sort of example of discrimination, because apparently they can't give us any modern day examples, because they're certainly not giving them to us here. But they're just talking about unequal outcomes. But if unequal outcomes is a bad thing, then what about unequal outcomes for the rest of us? Because as a poor white person, I can tell you, I mean, I really get tired of that shit. So I'd like to know, I mean, because maybe I'm being discriminated against. Can I get in the discrimination line here for some of this help? And in the end, what does any of this mean? What does any of this mean? They're passing this. They're making these grand resolutions and grand declarations. And what does it actually mean where the rubber hits the road? Are they talking about actually doing anything to help blacks? No, they're posturing. They're making these grand statements. It's social signaling on an international scale. You get this international news story about what good thinkers they are. But in the end, they're not going to do a freaking thing for blacks. you know, because they don't care. It isn't even about them. It's about elevating themselves. So we're good thinkers. See how much we care. See how progressive we are. See, we see the systematic racism, which we can't seem to define or find examples of. We just make this broad implication that somehow people are being denied things, not because they're poor, but because of the color of their skin. We can't provide any examples of this because, you know, if a black person went into any business and they told them, we don't serve Negroes here, get out, colored person, that would be illegal. And you would be, it would be all over the news. So they obviously don't have any examples of this, but they make this broad statement. Of course, the quote unquote journalists who write these stories have no interest, or they're just completely lazy. I suspect a little of both. And actually pressing for any of this. Imagine if you had real journalists. I could be a better journalist than any of these people writing. See, because I would come back and say, like, well, okay, well, you're making these statements, but define these terms for us. What do you mean? Because they can't. I guarantee you they absolutely cannot define these terms for us. You know, if you had a real journalist interviewing these people about this, instead of just being a grand social signaling love fest here, you would actually see hard questions like, okay, stop for a minute. Now, I want to press you for a definition of these terms. What is this systemic racism? Give us some example of this. And don't just point to unequal outcomes, because everybody sees unequal outcomes. I'm not in the NBA, and all these tall, athletic black people are that make millions of dollars. That's an unequal outcome. So why is that? If that is some sort of intrinsic flaw in the system, then I'm the victim of it here. But yet I don't get official victimhood status, and obviously I shouldn't, because it's a stupid argument to make on its face. And yet that is the very argument that they are presenting here. There's a very argument you have unequal outcomes. So it must be that something here, something unfair is happening here, something evil, something dark, something sinister is occurring here. And of course, again, that's just simply ludicrous on its face.
Well, you're correct, Grandpa. They don't really appear to be doing very much for blacks, actually, apart from just attacking whites with this virtue signalling statement. To combat the public health crisis, the agency approved of a $3,000 contract to train employees on racism and equity in public health. And I'm guessing maybe that was a typo there.
Well, that's going to make, if you're a black poor person, you know, and you're living in a shitty neighborhood and you have poor health care, I'm sure a $3,000 contract to train employees on racism and equity in public health, I'm sure you're going to feel a lot better about that. You're really going to benefit from that.
And a separate resolution will also implement a health and equity in all policies policy to further address racism within the agency. Again, they're just going to look at how can we make everything equal. And if you're a white man and you hear that, you know, there's more of your people unemployed than there should be, you know, you would think, well, I've got to work harder at trying to get a job here. Maybe we're a little bit lazy compared to the rest of us. I mean, it's not like blacks can't get anywhere in the United States. There's been a black president. There's a black surgeon general at the moment. If you look in Britain at the moment, Boris Johnson's cabinet is the most non-white cabinet that has ever been had. And yet it doesn't matter which country you go to in the world, you will see that blacks are more unemployed than anyone else, more of them in prison than anyone else, and more likely to get coronavirus than anyone else. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.